Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
There is a lot going on in the case against Karen Reed. The defense is still going as of our recording right here. It might be getting close to resting by the time you watch or see this, but we're going to talk about what has been going on here the first week of June and a little bit of the previous week as the defense is taking the stage in the trial of Karen Reed. There's been a lot of people that have taken the stand. We'll kind of work our way through them. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, joining us. Let's start with behavioral analysizing. I know that's not a word, but it is today.
Word, I like that.
Analysizing. Yeah, yes, analysizing. Where the defense has been going so far with just kind of a 10,000-foot overview of who they've been presenting, how it's been going, in your opinion thus far. Let's start there.
You know, and you see how I did that? You know, I really thought hard about this last night, Tony. You know, as we do our prep for our show, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, this is so exhausting. You know, and so then anytime we have an emotion, and because we're deep diving on something, the next thing you got to do is like, if you're having that emotion, other people have that emotion. The people I'm thinking are having that same emotion is the jury. Because mm-hmm. that's really, if you think about it, that's really that all that matters right now is that the jury is the one that matters here. And what it looks like, I would imagine from the jury's point of view, but it's so hard because you're not in that courtroom. Mm-hmm. We're only seeing data points that are presented to us and we're watching on TV if we have all that time in the world. But the jury is most likely getting exhausted with the nonstop behavioral attempts to discredit facts with opinions. And that's what I saw a lot of this week, is seeing a lot of facts being that the prosecution presented, and they're attacking it with opinions of others. And so that's kind of a weak attempt to me, but it's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. And at certain point, I know these are smart lawyers, or you're hoping they're smart.
Yeah.
You know, at what point do you stop
dropping
on the heads of the jury?
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you're going to just piss them off. And they're not going to be on your side at all, no matter what you do.
I think that's like quite a tightrope line that they've been trying to walk here. But yeah. But I don't think that they realize it's a tightrope. I think they feel like it's a very wide path that's been reinforced 35 times and that the jury is just standing there going, you got this. You are right no matter what. It feels like they've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the FKR movement is kind of the vibe I'm getting, because it doesn't seem that they're very cognizant of how they're presenting to the rest of the world. Like maybe some of the FKR folks are like, and I have seen them online. They get really riled up when they really think Alan Jackson or Alessi is really just giving it to them. But that's from their prism of what they're looking at. And I know the other side does the same thing too. But I'm trying to be balanced on this. I feel like one side is a little more living in a fantasy world than the other. I think that's somewhat safe to say when you have to believe so many extreme possibilities all have to line up for the conspiracy of the house beat up story to be true. That seems a lot bigger of a pill to swallow than she was drunk and she accidentally hit her boyfriend. Like, I don't know why this huge mountain of conspiracy seems so much more logical to a large group of people versus just what's very simple and very likely true, even according to the data.
So here's my conjecture and take on it, again, from being 30,000 feet away, is that so the defense looks like to me they're playing the defense of reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what they're poking at. They're not poking at anything but reasonable doubt, because reasonable doubt is what's going to keep her from going to jail.
Yeah.
So they're playing the reasonable doubt, which is an emotional thing you're going for. So if you can argue facts and data and with emotions, that's going to really play well into that. And so that's why. And I think the other thing they're doing is kind of what started in the first trial with all the issues with the law enforcement, with the department, with that area, with corruption. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people are doing, is when people are, especially in that area and online, are so anti-police in this area, which we were too.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of wrongdoings with a lot of things with Proctor and the whole regime there of how they investigated this, mm-hmm. that they held on to. And that became their conclusion, that this is all wrong. She's been wrong because this department, now they're going to have confirmation bias on everything they hear, is going to support that. And that's where the emotions come in, and rather than the pragmatic, objective approach to, hey, here's the actual data and evidence as presented by the accident scene reconstructionist, which actually went data points, science, engineering behind how these mm-hmm. things could actually happen. And then they're emotionally arguing them. And so that's what I think they're doing, is they're literally hitting the lower brain of emotional reaction to the things to get the reasonable doubt going, which is going to keep her from being convicted.
Well, that's their goal anyway. We'll see if that works, because I feel like it's very different this round. I feel like we really have, mm-hmm. and I always do my thing, like, for whatever reason, this hand is Karen Reed's consciousness. This is always, I'm always holding it up. But the thing is with Karen Reed on this one, it's the data is there. It's so much better than it was the last round, where we have 100%. The phone turning off, where we have the vehicle doing the turn. And yes, I know that type of data that pulls from that vehicle doesn't show a strike, but it wouldn't show a strike because it's not capable of showing a strike. What it is capable of doing is turning on, basically recording 5 seconds before an event and five seconds after an event. And it shows weird things with the vehicle, things that would trigger it, like sudden acceleration to very extreme lengths, which is basically what triggered it. And then when you match all that up with the phone data, it's there. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. I mean, this is like movie of the week back when there was movie of the week. Oh, look, there's broken taillight. There's a dead body. Her car has a broken taillight. That used to be enough to convict. Like, that would have been like all
and
of
I'm,
it.
And so I'm even taking the taillight out of this entire thing. Because that's
take
so
that out. Yeah, yeah.
So here's the things that I think are really solid on data.
Mm-hmm.
And that is medical examiner head strike to the back of the head.
Yep.
That's solid. That's what caused the death, you know, which is a hypothetical of a slip and a fall outside on ice or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really, really solid to me. The other solidness is the The accident reconstruction is about the bruising on the body that matches the positions of her car. You know, like elevations, that whole thing, the reconstruction of where that bruising on his body could actually come from, where he could then fall backwards and hit the back of the head. That is what is so solid to me. And then what was presented this week, which I thought was, again, it's a data point that they're just emotionally arguing, no dog DNA.
Yeah.
That was really, really good. It's like, boy, I hadn't really thought about that one before. We examined the behavior of dog and things like that in the past, behavior of people in the house. But hey, if they're claiming he was, you know, he was bit or attacked by the dog, where's the dog DNA on him?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Well, very, very much. I mean, we're talking about if you're attacked by a dog. Excuse me, I had a cough there. Yeah, you're going to have fibers. You're going to have fur. They're going to have DNA. And when we go back to the Marie Russell testimony, that was very, I guess, telling to a certain extent. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Telling to a certain extent of just when someone wants to be heard and they think their voice is very valuable, they'll make it heard. And Marie Russell is someone who claimed in her testimony she had no interest in the case, but she's the one who raised her head and volunteered saying, I know dog bites, even though there is no practice in dog bite identification. It doesn't exist. There's not a lot of literature on it. There's not a lot of studies on it, but she has her credentials of working in an ER for many years. Okay. I mean, the last time she was there, I believe it was like Bush one was president, but it was interesting to see her confidence versus accuracy, because she's very confident in what she's saying, but accurate when really, you know, when push comes to shove and it's not just her spouting off the groups that she's a part of, that a lot of them have nothing to do with this type of evidence, she really kind of fell flat.
And so here's what I'd like to see now, because they raised to me that was an interesting question, because now here's something that can move out of the realm of an opinion like hers and a topic that's brought up. And then they tried, you know, getting rid of it, you know, striking it, that defense, because they didn't like it, but it was just on cross. Then let's actually, that's why they didn't do this. I would like to now know other situations where people have been attacked by dogs, is there dog DNA left behind? Like they did this with the accident reconstruction. He showed in the past, you know, that here's how it's reconstructed. Here's the impact on bodies. Here's the engineering behind it. Here's the force times momentum. You know, here's how all that whole thing works, you know, from not just this accident, but other accidents, right? So now we have a baseline of comparison.
Yeah.
All right. Dog DNA. I want to see it. I want to see other dog bite attack, because to me, my conjecture and hypothesis is, it would make sense that there should be dog DNA left behind if a dog is involved in an attack on a human.
You would think that data exists.
Yeah. So let's look at it. Let's get some data and facts so we can get out of the realm, because I don't believe anyone's opinion in this entire case, because they're all drunk. They all have confirmation biases. The only thing I want is every time I can get a little bit of a scientific fact and data, that's what I want, because that's where I would imagine, because I'm just trying to place myself in the seat of the jury, of a jurist, you know, when there's so many people's opinions, it just becomes white noise, you know, and in order to get through the noise, if I need to do the best I can to give my opinion and my verdict and my vote on acquittal or guilty, you know, I want to really, and their instructions is going to be data.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'd also
think that's what I want to see.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.